Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Dr. Brooks Agnew talking about his theory. It is a very deep theory about the planets splitting up in two. They were unified once, these two objects, and they're going to split up again. We'll be back with Brooks and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, back with our special guest, Dr. Brooks Agnew, and your phone calls as we talk about, truly, Brooks, an incredible story about these two planets. If it gets to film stage, I hope it does. How are you going to illustrate it?
Well, that's a really good question. I have my ideas and I have some artwork, but it's really going to take, you know, somebody like Bad Robot or Michael Bay or somebody to really get this concept on the big screen. It wouldn't be maybe so captivating if it wasn't described so well in the ancient records. The things that they chiseled in stone and the stories that they told in their writings are really where this came from. This isn't made up of out of whole cloth. It is the blending of matter in space. And as I said, science and spirituality are one.
Well, they are indeed. What of all this that you say could happen, what fascinates you about this? I mean, this is pretty dramatic stuff. This doesn't happen every day.
No, it doesn't happen every day. And what's fascinating is when you look at the way that civilization, and I don't just mean the United States, I mean civilization is preparing itself. When we look at every age, we look at, for instance, the civilizations of the Yucatan, or we look at the civilizations that built the pyramids in Egypt. They went through a tremendous amount of effort. We're talking about a major part of their gross national product to build these edifices, to tell these stories, or to make this point, not for their generation, for our generation, thousands of years in the future. Why in the world would it be so important for them to spend all that energy, hundreds of years of work with immovable objects, without even a wheel, to tell this story? Because it meant so much to them, because they really believed that they, maybe not their physical bodies, but maybe their reincarnated bodies, would be here today at this time going through it. And they wanted to remember, they wanted to leave themselves some kind of message so that when the race got to this point, we would remember what we're supposed to be doing at this time when Earth is getting ready to go through this.
Now, I asked you at the top of the hour if the Vatican was in on this. What do you think?
Yes, the Vatican is one of the oldest contiguous societies, secret societies, on the planet. And they have been focused on, well, of course, keeping the science with their spirituality. They have telescopes, they have satellites, they have programmers, they have the best of the best studying this to know when exactly this is going to happen. And they're putting their resources into, I guess, protecting the elect and making sure that they make it through this transition. They're sure not worried about people like me and you. I mean, I didn't get a ticket. You might have got a ticket.
I didn't get my ticket.
Okay, well, see, there you go.
Of course, maybe mine is comped. You never know. Of all these episodes that we're talking about, what about a timetable here?
I think that it's beginning to crescendo, and it's not just, you know, looking at a calendar or looking at a timer that's timing down. Look at the speed with which these things are occurring. We know it as the quickening. It is events that would normally take hundreds of years to happen are now happening in 10 years. Our technology is doubling, what, now every 6 or 7 years?
Sure is.
We're evolving as a race, and we're doing it at an ever-increasing rate, and we're looking at the changes that the planet is going through itself. We're seeing it as climate change. It's one of the symptoms that we're seeing. But we're definitely seeing cosmic forces manifest themselves on this planet at this time, and it's changing so rapidly. I think the time is right on us.
All right, let's go to the phones now. We'll start with going to Mike in Evansville, Indiana, east of the Rockies. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Morning, George. How
morning.
You doing, you and your guests?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, the story I got, story I got is that this is supposed to be the last pope. Have you heard anything about that? And if you have, you think the end is near?
Well, I have heard that story, that this is the last pope. And I've seen, you know, several articles written about it and strong opinions about it. And I definitely think if we're talking about an end as this transition, then I definitely think it's near. I don't think the spirit of mankind ever ends. I think we go through transitions, and I think we're getting ready to go through one that's very, very important for the progress of the spirits that are here on the earth right now.
That could be. Now, this is the prophecy, of course, of St. Malachi. And who knows? Who knows what will happen? I mean, your book has the feeling of the apocalypse in it.
Yeah, and the apocalypse takes on a different form. You know, the classic apocalypse is that we have two armies that line up against each other, and we throw the best weapons at each other, and, you know, it looks like evil's going to win, and then right at the last minute, out of heaven comes Jesus and saves us all. The apocalypse is figurative, and I think that the way that the planet is being manipulated right now, we're not going to have that war. We're just going to be continuously in battle. And you look at how our country, just in the last 7 years under this administration, has been disarmed. How defensive systems that we had operating here in this country to protect ourselves have been taken apart and scrapped. Our borders wide open, our space wide open, our missile defense systems gutted, our airplanes sitting there with no parts. It's like we're being purposely set up to be taken out. And when you look in the scriptures, you try to find a place to the United States. You know, are we Babylon or are we going to survive? There's no mention of us. It could be because we're not here.
It's over. Happens.
Yeah.
It could be over. Doesn't that bother you?
Well, it doesn't bother me because
you don't sound upset.
No, I'm not worried about it. I realize I am an eternal being. And, you know, people talk about the tribulation. Oh, is the rapture going to happen before or after the tribulation? What difference does it make? If you're sitting at ground zero and you get to see the flash in your eye and feel your flesh evaporate off your bones, what difference does it make? You're going to die and you're going to be resurrected. And if you're a good person, your spirit is never going to perish.
Adam is truck driving in Mississippi now on the wild card line. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, yes. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I was going to ask your guest, you know, I've been studying a lot about meditation and tuning your body with the frequencies of the universe and through nature to access the Akashic records, which the city of Atlantis has knowledge of this. And I was wondering if you know anything about the green emerald tablets that actually explain kind of what really happened, because over time we've warped our own history.
You bring up a very good question. You know, there's an ancient being who's known as Thoth or Tehodi in some traditions, and he wrote or crafted these emerald tablets, which ostensibly are instructions for restarting the world once it's destroyed. And several traditions, including the Flower of Life meditation, claim to have significant parts of these tablets. And if you learn them during your meditation, you can gain a great sense of security, self-security. And that's a really important part for people here on this planet at this time. We live in very unsettling times, and it is, you know, remarkably reassuring to have that sense of security, that real security.
And they say that the exact source of the emerald tablet is unknown. It just kind of materialized.
True, but truth is truth. You know, it's not fabricated in the universe. As I said, science is spirituality. We discover science as our skills get better and better, but the science doesn't change.
No, it does not. George is in St. Louis. Hey, George, go ahead.
Good morning, Dr. Brooks. Morning, George.
Hi, George.
Hi, George.
I got a question about graviton waves, gravity waves.
Mm-hmm.
Would that affect earthquakes if it's at the right frequency?
It absolutely would, because gravitational waves actually warp the fabric of space-time. And when you look at the two LIGOs, the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatories, one in Hanford, Washington, one in Livingston, Louisiana, they're actually designed to sense that warping of space-time. And it would absolutely, everything that rides on that fabric, including planets, are affected by gravitational waves.
Do you believe that time travel is possible, Brooks?
I think that time is not the way that most people view it. Now, when you look at time in terms of physics, we break it down to relationships. For instance, E is equal to mc squared. C is actually the speed of light, a distance per second. The second is the time factor in that equation. And the beauty about this equation that Einstein formulated is it shows us the relationship between time and speed. The faster we go, the closer to zero time becomes. So time is just an observation of the human spirit. Without the human spirit to observe it, time doesn't exist. There's no distance in the universe. It's all local. Take two people that are dancing. One person is lost in the bliss of the moment, and the other one is looking at his watch. They're both doing exactly the same thing at exactly the same time, but they have different concepts of that time.
Okay, we go to Bruce now in South Carolina. Hello, Bruce. Good to have you with us. Bruce, you there?
Yes, uh-huh.
There you are. Go ahead.
Thank you. Am I on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Brooks, this is Bruce from South Carolina.
Oh, nice to meet you, Bruce.
Yes, and
you're
I listen
a neighbor.
To your radio show on Sunday night.
Perfect.
Yes, and I have woken up. I've been told the truth about certain things. I woke up in 94. And, you know, I'm an artist, and I'm creative. I'm a conceptual artist, and I'm highly creative. And when I'm doing work, things just come to me. As you were talking, when you're writing for yourself. Well, as you're doing your artwork, things just kind of come to you in trains of thought. And I appreciate what you said about that.
Well, I appreciate that. Artists... I think we just kind of extend ourselves out there in the maelstrom of truth in the universe, and we grab onto something and use our talent, our skill, our memory to bring that back into this reality, and then we express it different ways.
Well, Brooks, you have to accept it, though. Some people do accept it, and others don't. And the ones that do accept what is given to them, the offer or the gift, is enlightened. A different dimension is what I think you're hitting on in your book and in what you're talking about, and that's what happened to me. But one of the things I'd like to give you is a gift is the 10 years after song, Here They Come. Read the lyrics. It's unbelievable. It's on the Space and Time album, 10 years after.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Interesting.
Might as well look at that. You never know. It could be a theme song in your movie, Brooks.
I like 10 years after.
You know, that might be. Websites. You've got many. What do you recommend?
Well, the main clearinghouse one is going to be X Squared Radio, xsquaredradio.com. All the books and everything are there. And if you want to buy the book, I got a deal for your listeners.
What's the deal?
If they buy it on Amazon or anywhere, actually, just follow the instructions in the book. It's very simple. Just email me your receipt, and I will send you the audiobook for free. So if you're not a good reader, don't worry about it. I read it for you, the whole book unedited.
I like that deal. Eric in North Carolina happens to be a first-time caller. Hello, Eric. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Good morning. Thanks
good morning.
For having me on. I have a question for the doctor about his planetary theory.
Okay.
I was wondering, is when the planets separate, will the one that separates the spiritual one, will it have mass? And if so, where is that mass located now?
Yes, it does have mass. And the mass is located in the spaces between the mass that makes up the planet upon which we reside right now. Just like our body, our physical body, do you think we could probe into it and find the soul that animates it, that gives it its personality? Probably not. But we know it weighs something, but we couldn't find it. It's because it exists in the spaces between the matter that makes up our physical body. It's not very dense. We're actually mostly a lot of space.
So this is going to happen. You can't stop it?
Well, it was designed to happen. You know, when universes are created, they're created with a certain formula, a certain process. They're not eternal. They do pass away. And planets pass away, stars pass away, galaxies pass away. We're seeing different stages of that as we look around with our Hubble telescope and other forms of observation, radio telescopes, and now we have gravitational wave telescopes. We're seeing the universe do its thing. It's slow compared to our consciousness because we're used to things taking place at the speed of a microwave oven, but it does occur, and I think it's inevitable. It has been prophesied. Of course, a prophecy is a conditional prediction. This is what's going to happen if you keep doing this or if you don't stop doing that. And I think that it's pretty clear that there are two different strata, two different extremes of human here on this planet. We have benevolent, merciful, charitable people that spontaneously obey the law. They don't even need laws. They're going to live perfectly fine in their societies. And we have other aspects of our society that wouldn't obey a law if their life depended on it. And all they want to do is destroy and kill, and we're seeing that manifest more and more on our planet.
I never knew of you to be this spiritual before, Brooks.
Well, spirituality is something that we kind of keep private in our lifetime. It's not something that most people wear on their sleeve
right.
when they go for
or
their
broadcast
job. I've been in the automotive industry my whole life. And although I think the automotive industry is very spiritual in its own right, it's just something that you keep kind of private. But now I'm, you know, halfway through my life, and I feel I need to express this a little more, and I see more people needing something to coalesce that expression. And so I'm expressing it in the form of this book.
All right, well, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment with Dr. Brooks Agnew and take final phone calls with him. Also, as far as we're concerned, don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all of that at coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget our Coast Zone free newsletter, by the way, delivered digitally right to your computer. You can sign up for that, too, at coasttocoastam.com down at the bottom to the right. Look for Coast Zone. On our next Coast to Coast program, Catherine Austin Fitch joins me for a couple hours to talk about your financial future. And then later on, we'll have special open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Brooks Agnew with us. Brooks, what's next for you?
Well, of course, we want to get the electric truck on the road. That's paramount. That's my day job, and I really want to see that happen. But I am currently writing the second book in the series. I'm hooked on it now, so I want to see what happens just as much as you guys do. So hopefully book two will be out by the end of the year, and maybe we'll book three early next year.
When do you think you might get the movie?
That's a really great question. some producer will think, you know, we really need a great movie about the end of the world. And they'll see this and maybe, or they'll listen to this program and maybe contact me. This is the way it's done.
To date, as we've talked about with you before, Brooks, about the hollow earth, do you think there are inhabitants living within the planet?
Well, I think you accessed the little boy in me when you asked that question. I don't really know. Of course, I would like to know, and that means I'm going to keep exploring. But as I said before, as a biologist, I can tell you if there is space inside the planet, there will be life there. And, you know, whether it's intelligent, whether it's the lost 10 tribes that will return on a highway of ice that's prophesied in the book of Isaiah, it's difficult to say. Now, one thing's for sure, and I've floated this theory before, or this supposition before, it's clear to every society on the planet that there are unidentified flying objects and unidentified sea objects all over the planet, and they've been around for a long time, and there's hardly a society that doesn't, at least more than half of the people, believe in it. They got a park somewhere. They're not sitting on the White House lawn. That, well, they wouldn't do that. There's no intelligent life there. But I think that they're parked somewhere on the planet, and the logical place is either on the bottom of the ocean or inside the planet.
Well, people have seen them on both ends, coming from inside the ocean, coming up, and coming out of mountains.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of strange since you don't see big garage doors on the side of that mountain, which also lends credulity to the idea that there's a lot of space in the matter that makes up planet Earth.
Okay, well, let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to Linda in California, west of the Rockies. Good morning, Linda.
Hello. I had a question for you, Ken.
Sure. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask him, I've been hearing a lot of people on your show stating that they hear a humming sound.
A humming sound, that's right.
I was wondering if that was tied to, you know, what his book is about, you know, the time we're in and all that, you know, if he can give us an, you know, insight into the humming sound.
Have you heard about the humming sound, Dr. Brooks?
I have, and one of the things that is a manifestation of these two frequencies, this higher frequency Earth and lower frequency Earth, becoming dissident, are the audible sounds that people will begin to hear as these two things come apart. In the scriptures, it's called a trump or a trumpet sound, and we have had recordings of those. Another would be a sudden staccato sound, like a boom or a crack of some kind, and the other would be this low-level hum. These are harmonics that are put off as these two frequencies begin to become dissident.
Well, a lot of people have reported, including our reporter Linda Moulton Howe, that these hums are very, very unusual. We ran the theories that, you know, something's happening within the planet and all that. She doesn't think so. She thinks that these hums could very well be sounds that people are hearing within their own body.
Well, it could be, except they're being picked up by instruments. They're being picked up by YouTube. They're being picked up by cell phones. That's not a hum that's inside someone's body. That's going in a microphone on an electronic instrument.
Well, that could be. Okay, Joe in Syracuse, New York. Thanks, Joe. Go ahead.
Hey, George, doctor. How you guys doing this morning?
Good. Thank you.
I currently hold a master's degree in physical science, and I'm listening to you talk about the separation of the planet from physical to a spirit Earth. I guess my question/comment would be, this seems to me more like a cult belief of, okay, or I should say, what's going to happen to the people on this planet if and when these separate? I mean, is it going to be a cataclysmic event where people's souls are carried to?
You were kind of alluding to that, Brooks. Go ahead.
It will definitely be a cataclysmic event. And, you know, it is all about resonance at that point. Which spectrum of frequencies do you resonate with? I can tell you that it is a spiritual concept, but it's also a scientific concept. We're just now beginning to understand the science of cymatics, for instance, the effect of frequencies upon physical matter, water and plants and all kinds of things. And as we get better and better at learning this science of cymatics, we're going to understand the effect that frequency has upon the state of matter. I can tell you, just by listening to certain kinds of music, the human spirit changes. Our mood changes, our ability to handle stress changes, our health changes. This is not just evident in the hymns that they play when you go to church. When you go to church each Sunday, you go there to get recharged. You go there to shed off the stress and the sins, I guess, of the week that you've had before you, and to reset yourself for Monday morning. Music is part of that resetting process. Those frequencies have an effect on your body. You resonate with those frequencies. And that's exactly what this book claims, is that you will resonate with the planet that you're at home with.
What if something goes wrong and that this split is more catastrophic, Brooks, than you think?
I don't think it's going to make that much difference. And I'll just share something with you. In 2012, I was hit by a car on my motorcycle. I was broadsided by a woman coming out of a parking lot and hit me on the highway. And it put me out. I mean, I was gone. And when they brought me back, I didn't have a visions of tunnel of light or anything, but I basically said in that ambulance when they brought me back, that was easy. Dying is easy. It's nothing to be afraid of. And when you're dead, you still exist. The body quits working. Things quit pumping around, but you still exist. So it's no big deal. There's no reason to be taken off this planet to avoid a cataclysmic physical death, whether you're hit by a tidal wave, swallowed up in the earth, wiped out in some giant nuclear blast. It makes no difference. Your spirit will continue.
You promise?
Yeah, I promise.
Next up, we go to Harvey in Savannah, Georgia. Harv, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, George. Dr. Agnew, pleasure to be with you all this morning.
Great, good to be with you too.
Excellent. My question, the individuals that are going to go within these tunnels and hide out for this until this event has happened and passed us, who are those individuals? Obviously, I heard that you were saying it's not you. You don't have a ticket, nor does George. So who are these individuals that would be privy to gaining one of these tickets? And, you know, so the plan is for them to stay under there for, I don't know, 100 years? Or how does that process work?
That's a really good question. I mean, that is a superb question. I kind of think of it like when I was watching the last presidential debate, I noticed that the audience was pretty much filled with the donor class. These are people that contribute large amounts of money to presidential campaigns. Honestly, I think those are the people with the tickets. Do I think it's fair? No. But you know what I think? I think they should go ahead and beat the rush. They should go ahead and get in those shelters now, while there's no traffic jam or cataclysms happening. Go ahead. They've got the facilities. They've got plenty of food storage. Go ahead, get in there, close the door, and we'll take it from here. What do you say?
And lock the door.
Mm-hmm.
And send them on their merry way. So if this doesn't happen in our lifetime, will you be disappointed?
No, I won't be disappointed. You know, there's two different viewpoints I have found in my life here on this earth. One is people think this place is terrible. Life is crap and then you die. And they can't wait to get to it, although they're too afraid to kill themselves. The rest of us think this is the most amazing planet you can imagine, with such a variety of life and wonderful things to see,
oh my God,
wonderful
yeah.
things to do, and wonderful people to love. This is the closest thing to heaven I could imagine.
What do you think the other planet looked like?
Well,
were there two similar planets?
Yes, they were. And it's described in what we call bodies telestial, terrestrial, and celestial. Believe it or not, we live on the telestial body, which is the lowest of them. And it is said that if we could just get a vision of the terrestrial body, we would kill ourselves to get there. That's how much more glorious it is than this one. Do you think I'm worried if I'm taken out in some tidal wave on the east coast of North Carolina? No, not the least.
Not at all.
No, but I'm going to live every minute I have on this planet to the fullest that I possibly can, and I'm not going to be depressed about any of it because it's all part of the mortal experience.
Do you think this is a big secret by government?
Oh, I think government tries to keep lots of things secret, but in doing so, they darken themselves. They actually begin resonating with the temporal planet, and they miss the point completely.
Steve in Colorado Springs in Colorado. Hello, Stephen. Good morning to you.
I can't even believe I'm talking to you, Mr. Norrie.
You made it.
I've listened to you for at least the last 5 years. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
I'll try to make it quick. Dr. Agnew, I got to know. After everything I've listened to you for couple hours, is there hope for mankind to live on to those other two celestial planets that you're talking about?
Yes, absolutely. And here's the great news.
I haven't heard any hope yet. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, the great news is the choice is yours.
Give him hope. Come on now.
The great news is the choice is yours, and you don't have
to
be rich.
Explain that. Explain that.
That means you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be good-looking. You don't have to be strong or talented in any way. Choosing to live your life at a higher vibrational frequency, full of mercy and charity, full of love for others and forgiveness, is the way to raise your vibrational level, and you'll feel it almost instantly. In the scriptures, it's called a mighty change of heart. And there's nothing square about it at all. It is a marvelous change, and you can feel it in somebody just by being with them in an elevator. You don't even have to speak to them. You can hear it in their voice. You can see it in their smile. You can see it in the way they walk, in the way they hold themselves, in the way they vibrate right here in mortal life. Nobody makes that choice for you. There is no being in heaven that says, you go to heaven and you go to hell. You make that choice yourself.
What do you think of the rapture? Are we talking about the rapture here?
The rapture is a concept that was formulated, I'm going to call it post-scripturally. It is taken from the word enwrapped, which means actually a state of ecstasy. So it is a concept, but basically, what we're talking about is rapture on a planetary scale. Think about it just for 2 minutes, and you'll realize there's no reason why a sect of humanity, and it depends on which church you go to as to which sect that is going to be taken up off the planet and turned around and given a view of the rest of mankind being burned to stubble. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's just a fear tactic to keep you in line with the dogma of that particular sect. Nobody is going to be spared from anything. What you vibrate at will determine where you ascend to, let's call it. And there's no fear to it.
Justin is in Dayton, Ohio now. Hey, Justin, we'll get you in here.
Okay. Hi, I'm a first-time caller. I haven't listened for a long time, but I watched a lot of YouTube videos years ago.
Well, good to have you back.
I have a lot to say, so I'll try to cut it short.
Well, unfortunately, we have 2 minutes to hear you, so go for it.
I'll be as quick as possible.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Based on what I'm hearing, it sounds like Dr. Agnew is a Christian, but a lot of the words, a lot of things he's saying, phrases, terminology sounds like what I would call myself a spiritual atheist. So I just want to put that. I'm a spiritual person, but I don't believe in the Christian God. I used to be a Christian. But here's the thing I was going to say is that humans tend to always go, no matter what they do, whatever we discover, it's never enough. So they're always looking for the next thing. And I have a certain belief. I don't know if you know of or are familiar with the law of attraction.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So basically, you know, that sort of in a nutshell, says that by what you think, you create your own reality. So what I'm thinking, my question is, with those two things put together, humans always looking, you know, once we discover something, we want more always. And with us creating our own reality, this cataclysmic event that you're talking about, do you think that humans, is it possible that we have created it by those prophecies, predictions, whatever?
Yes, it is possible that we've created it, and it's also possible that we can create another future that doesn't have that cataclysm in it. You're absolutely correct. And by the way, once you learn to attract the bounty of the universe to yourself, you no longer have the desire to accumulate that bounty. It's there anytime you want it.
Brooks, you're going to give us updates on the movie and everything else?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you can just go to xsquaredradio.com, and I'll keep you up to date on everything that's happening.
That sounds like fun. It's a good project.
Life should be fun, and you should be about doing great things. Everybody should.
But I don't want the planet split up.
Well, it's just the way it was designed. It's all mathematics. It's all science. And no, I'm not an atheist. Yes, I am a Christian. One thing's nice about this planet is all the best spirits in the universe have been born here.
You got that right. Thanks, Brooks. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.